Today, more pain in coming as the Gulf War hangs around. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, the Trump news continues to go all over the place. His latest tweet suggests a 10-day further period of, quote, negotiations, although who he's negotiating with is an interesting question. Nevertheless, fears of economic strain are growing across the globe as the United States-Israeli war on Iran nears the one-month mark, and the escalating conflict in the Middle East has knocked the global economy off a stronger growth path, the OECD warned in a report on Thursday titled Testing Resilience, as a near halt in energy shipments through the Straits of Hormuz has threatened to push inflation sharply higher. The Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development said the global economy had been on course for strong and expected growth before the war in Iran erupted, but that prospect has now all but disappeared. In their report, they say that the evolving conflict in the Middle East has human and economic costs for the countries directly involved, and it will test the resilience of the global economy. A halt in shipments through the Straits of Hormuz and the closure or damage of energy infrastructure has generated a surge in energy prices and disrupted the global supply of energy and other important commodities such as fertilizers. Well, I've been highlighting this for a few weeks now, so it's just catching up, really, aren't they? There's a high level of uncertainty around the duration and the magnitude of the current conflict in the Middle East, and that means that this outlook is subject to significant downside risks, and that could result in lower growth and higher inflation, the OECD chief Matthias Cormann told journalists. Yes, Matthias Cormann, the ex-Aussie parliamentarian. They note that volatility in financial markets has picked up, particularly in some Asian economies, and financial conditions have tightened, though they remain mildly accommodative in both advanced and emerging market economies, they say. Of course, the breadth and the duration of the conflict are very uncertain, but a prolonged period of higher energy prices will add markedly to business costs and raise consumer price inflation with adverse consequences for growth. Prior to the escalation of the conflict, global growth remained resilient, they said. It was actively boosted by strong AI-related investment and production and supportive financial and fiscal conditions. US bilateral tariffs have declined following the US Supreme Court ruling against the tariffs imposed under the particularly large reductions for several emerging market economies, including Brazil, China, and India. Nevertheless, the overall US effective tariff rate remains well above that prevailing prior to 2025. Higher energy prices and supply chain disruptions come at a time when inflation remains above target in a few major economies, including Brazil, Mexico, Turkey, and United Kingdom, the United States. Medium-term inflation expectations have also risen following the energy price spike. Global GDP growth is projected now to ease to 2.9% in 2026. The unpredictable nature of the evolving conflict in the Middle East will raise costs and lower demand, offsetting the tailwinds from strong technology-related investment and production, lower effective tariff rates, and the momentum carried over from 2025. So these projections are conditional on a technical assumption that the current extent of energy market disruption moderates over time, with oil, gas, and fertilizer prices declining gradually from the middle of 2026 onwards. But of course, that's a big assumption. Annual GDP growth in the United States is projected to moderate from 2% in 2026 to 1.7% in 2027, as strong AI-related investment is gradually offset by a slowdown in real income growth and consumer spending. Euro area GDP growth is anticipated to ease to 0.8% in 2026 as high energy prices weigh on activity, before increasing to 1.2% in 2027, helped by stronger defence spending. And in China, growth is projected to ease to 4.4% in 2026 and 4.3% in 2027. G20 inflation is expected to be 1.2 percentage points higher than previously expected in 2026 at 4%, before easing to 2.7% in 2027, with an assumed fading of energy price pressures. But again, that's a big assumption. Core inflation in G20 advanced economies is anticipated to weaken from 2.6% in 2026 to 2.3% in 2027. They say a significant downside risk to the outlook is that persistent disruption to exports from the Middle East that raise energy prices even further than assumed, and aggregate shortages of key commodities add to inflation and reduce growth. Such a scenario, or lower than expected returns from AI investments, could also trigger more extensive repricing and financial market weakening. On the upside, a surprisingly resilient business sector, an earlier than assumed resolution of the conflict in the Middle East that lowers energy prices, or broader investment in AI technologies that yield stronger productivity gains could push growth stronger. But faced with an energy price shock, central banks will need to remain vigilant and ensure that inflation expectations stay well anchored. Monetary policy adjustments may be needed if price pressures broaden or if growth prospects weaken substantially. Government measures to cushion the impact of higher energy prices should be timely, they say, well targeted at households most in need and viable firms, and should preserve incentives to lower energy use and have clear expiry mechanisms. Fiscal space, they say, is limited, and actions are needed to safeguard debt sustainability and free resources to meet longer-term spending challenges. Stronger efforts to contain and reallocate spending is required, set with incredible medium-term country-specific adjustment paths. Of course, this is neoliberalism in action once again, so it's not necessarily as simple or straightforward as they suggest. Effective monitoring, supervision, and robust regulatory policies are needed, they say, to address financial stability risks, given stressed valuation in financial markets and growing interconnections between banks and non-bank financial institutions. And agreements to ease trade tensions and deepen trade relations would improve policy certainty and strengthen the prospect for sustainable growth. New export restrictions in response to supply disruptions should be avoided, they say, as these would exacerbate supply shortages and push up prices. So once again, let's have global trade, let's have neoliberalism, let the markets rock. Well, hasn't worked that well, has it? Policies that improve domestic energy efficiency and lower reliance on imported fossil fuels over the medium term are a priority, they say. These can help lower exposure to future geopolitical tensions, as well as mitigate costs for households and businesses. In other words, don't use the oil, can't use the oil, go green. In Australia, German Defence Minister Boris Pistorius addressed reporters at Parliament House in Canberra, saying that the US had not consulted Germany before it, along with Israel, waged a joint war on Iran on February the 28th. Speaking at a meeting with the Australian Defence Minister Richard Marles on Thursday, Pistorius said Germany was ready to secure any peace. If it comes to a point where we have a ceasefire, we will discuss every kind of operation to secure the peace, he said. To make it crystal clear, this war is a catastrophe for the world's economies. The impact is absolutely evident already now. Nobody asked us before. It's not our war, and therefore we don't want to get sucked into that war, he said. There is no strategy, there is no clear objective, and the worst thing from my perspective is there is no exit strategy. So he urged the US and Iran to end the conflict and said Germany would discuss operations to secure freedom of navigation in the Straits of Hormuz if there was a ceasefire. The United Kingdom's economic growth prospects this year received a sharp downgrade, though the impact will be attenuated by lower policy rates next year, the OECD said in its report. So, rate cuts, not rate rises. Well, we'll see about that. Economic growth in the UK is forecast to be 0.7%, the OECD said, down from its previous forecast of 1.2%. Inflation is also predicted to be higher than expected. The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has called for negotiations with Iran and an end to hostilities as the bloc urged member states to start early on meeting next winter's gas storage targets. In Europe, LNG is going to be the pinch point. Natural gas prices in the European Union have risen by more than 30% since the start of the war, spiking after Israel's attack on Iran's critical South Pars gas field and subsequent Iranian assault on Qatar's Ras Laffan. The Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sánchez, called for an end to the war on Wednesday, saying it presented a far worse scenario than the invasion of Iraq in 2003. This is not the same scenario as the illegal war in Iran. We are facing something far worse, much worse, with a potential impact that is far broader and deeper, he told Parliament. A prolonged conflict would trigger significant energy shortages globally, and if the sharp rise in fertilizer prices is sustained, crop yields will be impacted and food prices will soar next year. And experts warn the prolonged period of high energy prices will dampen growth, fuel inflation, and make interest cuts less likely. Actually, the effects are already being felt at the pump in the UK, with UK drivers seeing higher petrol and diesel prices, and by heating oil users, and mortgage lenders have responded by raising rates and axing hundreds of mortgage deals. And the chief executive of UK retailer M&S said policy costs on the company's energy bill had skyrocketed in recent years and were unsustainable for business. There are the tariffs that government place on our bills to fund the policies, he said, and it has nothing to do with the price of oil and gas. Oh, and UK clothing retailer Next said it was likely to experience £15 million worth in additional costs such as fuel and air freight if the Iran war lasts for 3 months. These have been offset, they say, by savings elsewhere, but if the conflict continues for longer than 3 months, we'll begin to pass costs through as higher prices. But for today, that remains a contingency, not a plan. So all up, if you stand back and just think about this, the OECD has put a stake in the ground. Markets, of course, have been lower, but not significantly so yet. They will probably continue to fall as the uncertainty continues. But the point I wanted to leave you with today is that nobody really knows how this is going to play out because, well, nobody knows what Trump is going to do. And even if Trump decided to stop, would Israel stop? And would Iran stop? We are in for a long grind. And I think the discomfort that many will face are not really being confronted yet. Oil and other fuels, of course, gas, price of pretty much everything off the back of that. Plus, of course, the lack of fertilizers, helium. I could go on. There's a massive long list of missing in action elements. And of course, it takes time for it to work through. So we are going to probably see more shortages ahead, more deflationary pressure on one side, but also inflationary pressure too. Lower growth, higher inflation, which takes us towards that stagflation future that I keep talking about. It is more likely now than ever. And as for the argument as to whether, in fact, we should continue to put oil prices up to try and actually solve the green question, at a time when, in fact, there isn't enough energy coming through the system, seems a bit moot to me. Are we going to really strangle the economy even more to try and actually save the planet? Well, we probably should, but I'm not sure we will. So the bottom line is this, the OECD call here in this document is an absolute wake-up call, but I fear that it may go unheeded. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.